help us to commence with hymn 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense, I to thy mercy seek repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. Hymn 942.
Thank you. read together from the most holy word of God, from the Lamentations of Jeremiah in the third chapter. The Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me, encompassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him, his field full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion, according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not good, and not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain, thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare is come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission, till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us a reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind and gracious God, do look down upon us in mercy at this evening hour. All that might be found in thy courts this night, with a living desire, a hunger and thirst after thee and after thy righteousness. All that might be found in thy courts, with that wrought in our hearts by the Spirit, give me Christ or else I die. And like those Greeks of old, sirs, we would see Jesus. But oh, we might be found in thy courts this night, amongst those that we read of in Isaiah, they are those that have obeyed the voice of thy servant. They fear the Lord, but they walk in darkness and have no light. Oh, how often it is so. It's not always in light, but often in darkness. Yes, and dear Jeremiah of old knew much of this, did he not? And those various characters we read of in thy precious word, oh, they walked likewise in paths which seemed so dark and distressing to the natural mind. But oh, what a mercy if we can come even with that in Isaiah. Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. Ah, oh, Jeremiah was enabled so to do. We read in that chapter, did we not? In the middle of that chapter, there was that hope. That hope in exercise, faith in exercise. And oh, as we also read in thy word regarding Job, been reading it together at home. Oh, that account of Job. In the midst of his darkness, there was this glimmer of light. For the light had shone. He'd known that light of the glorious gospel, had he not, that which had begun that work in him. He was found amongst those, that walked in the fear of the Lord. That thou hast permitted Satan to enter in and touch him in his pathway. Everything seemed to be turned upside down. Things brought to naught. Oh, how it was one thing after another. Oh, what darkness he was found in. And like it was with the psalmist, we read that little psalm this morning, where the psalmist David, in like manner with Job, could not perceive his God on the right hand, on his left, behind, or before. And oh, dear Job, in the midst of that darkness, yes, he could say, he knoweth. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so as the prophet Jeremiah, there is that hope, was it not? In the midst of darkness, there was that which was of the Spirit breathing upon his dry bones. Those bones, yes, that seemed to be like their bones scattered at the grave's mouth. Ah, dry and dead. Ah, yes, all his hope, as it were, coming to nothing. And like it was with Job. But blessed be God. There was that which was within him, which was, it was of thee, which could not be destroyed. It was that which was of grace. And he was bound up in that covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And blessed be God, the gates of hell could not prevail against it. And all this blessed truth has been unto one, even the past little while. What a mercy. The gates of hell cannot prevail against that which thou hast begun, that which thou hast purposed in this one or that one, individually or collectively. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And so do we now to rest in thee and to wait patiently for thy appearing. Lord, thou knowest we didn't intend reading that tonight. But oh, perhaps there is a reason, thou knowest. But oh, Lord, we plead then thy blessing upon the word, that it might be a word in season. A word in season unto some poor trembling one that it is dark, the ways be clouded, their path is hedged up with hewn stones. Do draw near unto them, we plead, and go, and give them in the midst of that darkness. That hope, yes, it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, thy compassions fail not. And so to remember such we plead. But as thou hast favoured us to gather in thy courts this night, may it be unto one or another that meat and drink in thy house. Thou knowest those that are wearied with the journey. Found the language of one, as a hymn writer put it, weary of earth, myself and sin. Dear Saviour, set me free. And often it is so, is it not? Weary with the journey. Often can I identify with dear old Jacob. All these things are against me. But Jacob's God did not forsake him, did not cast him off. And Jacob was yet, was he not, to see those wagons coming. Time of rejoicing was yet to come. And that which had been promised him, Ah, yes, and what a mercy the promises of God. They are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And sometimes a promise unto one or another, they're tried as regards that promise. Ah, they wait year after year, and the way becomes darker and darker. But oh, may it please thee, do lift up the light of thy countenance upon them. Ah, yes, we often think of that psalm, I believe it's Psalm 4, that little psalm. Who will show us any good? Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. And so we plead unto one or another that it might be so, that thou wouldest condescend to poor ones of low estate, and lift up the light of thy countenance upon them. Ah, there might yet be a time of rejoicing, a time of taking the harp down from the willows and to sing thy praises. So do remember each one we plead this night. And thou knowest each one that is detained in their home for those duties or laid aside on beds of affliction. Lord, go to them where they are. Perhaps they are listening in. Do favour them even by these means. And so we plead for any afflicted and those duties of family life, they're found in their homes. Thou knowest their desires and their longings. And perhaps it is this, those wishes which seem so weak, but Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. Thou knowest those that are tempted by the adversary. Ah, yes, that old adversary says, well, you've waited so long, that time will never come. Ah, we often used to feel like that one at Bethesda's pool, 38 years. He knew his need. He knew of his affliction. Ah, 38 years. And so the years went by. And no doubt that which afflicted him didn't get one whit better. But rather grew worse. But that time came when thou didst favour him, for thou didst draw near and granted him his soul's desire. Ah, yes, he was made whole, was he not? And truly he went on his way rejoicing. And so do remember one or another, but do remember each one according to their need. Manage all their affairs for them. Each one, yes, whatever their age, they have that path which thou hast appointed. Those burdens and cares, and as the psalmist put it, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And the marginal reading puts it like this, as regards that burden, that which he hath assigned thee. Oh, do enable one another to cast that which thou hast assigned them, that which thou hast marked out for them that should attend their steps. Oh, and them to cast that burden upon thee and to seek help from one that is mighty. And oh, do grant them that grace sufficient to sustain them and uphold them under it all. And perhaps it is like that which the Apostle Paul, it was a thorn in his flesh. Ah, that which thou hast assigned, it might be like that, the thorn in the flesh, necessary. A bitter path, a painful path. And so like the apostle, we're no different than the apostle. We do not want painful paths. We don't want messengers of Satan sent to buffet us. But oh, what a mercy. Yes, that prayer was not answered as he pleaded that it might be removed from him. It wasn't answered in that way that he wanted naturally. But he was to prove this, no doubt. In the midst of it all, the blessing of the Lord which maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow to it. Under thy blessing, it was a divine favour, no doubt. It was made known to him. That which was painful to the flesh was made sweet to the soul. My grace was the answer, was it not? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so he's now to bear. Thou didst give him strength to bear, grace to bear it. And no doubt, under that grace and the sanctifying influence of the Spirit, was enabled to say, Thy will be done, Thy will be done. And so make one or another willing in the day of thy power to say, Thy will be done, and grant them that grace sufficient to bear them up, hold them up in the midst of all. Ah, and may they see, yes, beyond that which they feel naturally, a blessing in it, a blessing in it. And so do remember each and every one according to their pathway of life. But oh, do remember once again the dear young ones, and we see those here from the babes going on up into those going into life, and the younger ones in their pathway of life. Lord, work might in their hearts. The fear of the Lord, that we read, do we not? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, put thy fear in their hearts. And do work in their hearts that tender fear, that fear which is through love. And so we plead to enable them to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, and to prove that all these other things shall be added unto you, as thy word declares. And so remember them each in their paths, and as they grow up, oh, may they find that thou canst make mountains flow down at thy presence. Thou canst make ways where there seems to be no way. Ah, for it is a dark and evil day in which our lot is cast. And perhaps they find it so as they've got older. But oh, may they prove the shepherd goes before his sheep, and that shepherd cares much for his sheep, and that shepherd can work wonders for them whereof they're glad. So to remember the young, and remember those in the midst of life with all the attendant cares, whether it is the housewife and mother, whatever, those younger ones in their studies, those in the midst of life with all its heat and burden that goes with it, those in their retirements, oh, manage all their affairs for them. May they find the government of their affairs individually rests upon thy shoulder. Oh, we can soon become so fretful. We can soon become over anxious. And this one that stands before thee is so guilty of that. Those what ifs and what maybes. What ifs and what maybes. But oh, what a mercy. There is our one that has purposed everything in our lives from the beginning to the end. Oh, they might have that faith to believe it, and that patience to fall into thy hands and wait for thy appearing. But yet that anxiousness, that anxiety and fretting soon takes hold upon us. But oh, to be given that patience to wait for thy appearing. And so remember each one. Perhaps there is something before them on the morrow. Make those mountains flow down at thy presence, those dark places light, and those rough places plain. Oh, we trust we've proved it in our little life. May they likewise prove it. Perhaps there is something on the coming morning, if spared, and it seems so insurmountable. So insurmountable. It's an utter impossibility according to their natural carnal reasoning. But oh, as this poor one Monday morning, we knew that which was before us. Ah, and those words came, is anything too hard for the Lord? And we trust we are enabled to say by faith, nothing is too hard for thee. But oh, our faith was sorely tried that day. Ah, yes, sorely tried. But oh, we were enabled to prove the goodness of God. We were enabled to prove, yes, that thou canst work wonders. bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates, work wonders. And oh, how we had to prove that morning that thou canst work wonders, even in our day, miracles. And all that loving reproof afterwards. Wherefore, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And so we plead, do remember such, perhaps as that on the morrow, give them that measure of faith. Yes, they will find unbelief. That is what we find by nature. It soon rises up. But oh, may they prove yet that there is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. So we plead for such. And once again, do remember the cause of truth here in the little hills of Zion. Strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And all that might be here, one or another, through the foolishness of preaching, brought him to tell out to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood, and say, behold the way to God. But oh, do awaken many sinners round to come and fill the places. Bring back prodigals. Bring back the rebellious. Bring back the wayward. Ah, and may we yet see in our day better days in Zion. But we would not despise or be unthankful for the day of small things. For what call we small things? These are great things, those things which thou dost work in this one and that one. This one and that one that is born in Zion. That thou dost bring to the birth. That thou dost work in their hearts mightily. Oh, these are great things, one here and one there, and we thank thee for it. And so we plead, but if it could please thee. And as we, observe that the Bibles are free to be taken by anybody passing, and there have been those, a goodly number, that have gone. Oh, may that be an effectual word in one or another's heart, we plead. Perhaps they never opened the Bible before. They've opened it for the first time, and they've had to look on in wonder as it's taken hold upon them. And there's been that seed sown. Yes, and even in these things, the husbandman hath need of much patience. Might be awaiting yet. Might be many months, if not years. But what a mercy if one or another should testify that they picked up a Bible, not knowing what it was, but out of curiosity, and are open to read for the first time. And that place where they opened it brought them into that conviction of sin, brought them to groan before thee, and brought them, as the Spirit leads them along, into that light and liberty of the gospel, to see what there is in a precious Christ, and to see that there is such a suitability there for the worst of sinners, for the most deep dyed. Oh, that it might be so, that might be one and another brought even in here, like those Greeks of old. With a thirst we would see Jesus, an aching void that the world which they once lived to the full in is now but an aching void. It cannot fill them anymore, but an aching void that the world cannot fill. But oh, that true hungering and thirsting after thee and after thy righteousness. So we plead thy blessing upon it. But oh, as we are gathered this night, we thank thee that we can still gather without the fear of man or authority. None can lawfully make us afraid. But we fear there are those assaults by secularists, atheists, and all sorts that would like to remove many parts of thy word because it offends them. It offends them in their sins, in their abominations. It doesn't give them freedom to do that which they want to do. Oh, may it please thee. Oh, preserve unto us our Protestant heritage, and preserve unto us the word of God in its entirety. And as we stand up in thy name, Lord, we plead for that strength sufficient that we might not fear men's frowns nor court their smiles. Oh, we know not how we shall stand in that day of trial, in that way temptation, when, yes, perhaps one or another has sent in to take note of what we speak. But, oh, Lord, make us faithful in that day and to be able to answer and speak in that hour in the defence of the gospel, in defence of the glorious gospel of Christ. We often read of the Apostle Paul and that which he had to endure. Grant that grace likewise, if that time should be. But, O Lord, we thank thee that at the moment we can gather without that fear. Yes, some might try to make us afraid, but none can lawfully make us afraid. Oh, we plead then for that grace sufficient. And every hour and every time we stand up in thy name, and each one as they go about their daily lives, yes, no doubt they'll find Satan stirs up this one or that one to come against them. But grant them likewise strength sufficient in that hour of trial. Lord, do then help us now. And we thank thee that we can gather. And may it be, yes, this night that thou wouldest be pleased to make one in our midst and break the bread of life unto us. There might be a living word. We don't want an academic religion. We can have the dry letter of the word. But what does that do for poor worm Jacobs? What does that do for those that fear and tremble? It doesn't meet their case. But all that might be that which is then of the Spirit. And if it's of the Spirit, it will be a living word. A living word that suits this one and that one's case. So we plead that it might be so this night. And at the end of the evening, Lord, gather with a few of us round the table to remember thee, a precious Christ, in what it cost thee to redeem us from the hand of the enemy and to save us from the wrath to come. Oh, and what a great cost it was, yet to us it's costly, yes, but free. Ah, yes, but what a mercy. Where sin abounded, we read, grace did much more abound. And so may it please even unto one that feels to be that greatest of sinners. Oh, yes, and the old adversary says, well, look at the magnitude of your sins. The magnitude of your sins. But oh, when we think of the finished work of Christ. And that which the Apostle Paul expounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Over and above the worst of sinners. Yes, the apostle testified it in all of himself. He was the chiefest of sinners. And he had to say this, did he not? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But oh, he could say, and what a mercy if we can say, likewise, but I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we plead for thy help now. Bless us each together. Do us each good and send none empty away. And so we plead now for the pardon of every sin and all we've asked amiss. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
in 761. Show pity, Lord, O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee. In 761.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn back to those two verses we tried to speak from this morning out of Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. We know we read that other psalm this morning, Psalm 142. Yes, the psalm is there. David was found in quite a different place for, yes, the psalmist, I'm not sure who penned Psalm 91. But was it not there, that sweet enjoyment of those blessings which were following on from those verses as regards the pathway? But all we have to prove, do we not? There are days of darkness, there are risings high and sinkings low. The Lord's people are not always in that place of that enjoyment, that sweet peace under that enjoyment. And David, the psalmist, in that Psalm 142, he had to say, did he not, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. No man care for my soul. And so we've read this evening, I didn't intend to read that out of Lamentations. I hadn't really settled upon a reading. But all that which was of Jeremiah. That which was of Jeremiah. And that long chapter there, but right in the middle, there is that little hope still, that little hope in darkness. Yes, we had something in regard to darkness, I believe, in the first hymn. And we likewise read of a similar thing, do we not? In that way, in the Song of Solomon, in that that third chapter, second or third chapter in the Song of Solomon. Not in that place where it's comfortable. Perhaps the path is turned upside down like it was then with Jeremiah. For there we read, do we not? I know this is turning one from one portion to another. But dear Jeremiah, he said, did he not? He hath enclosed my way with hewn stone. When I thought upon that, well, hewn stone is as it is. Dug out of the ground or removed from where it was. It's not dressed stone. Dressed stone is dressed for a purpose, and you can see it has a purpose. It is made uniform for whatever it may be assigned for, but hewn stone. And therefore, like with Jeremiah, it seemed those things about him that distressed him were like hewn stone. To his natural thought, had no purpose, and certainly were cross and quite contrarious to his natural thoughts. And yet, in the midst of it all, no doubt he was like that one then in the Song of Solomon. Oh, that I might find him. By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. Ah, it speaks of one there whom my soul loveth. One that had known those seasons where hope was raised up. A sweet hope. Known those seasons when, yes, perhaps like Mary, they sat at the Lord's feet hearing his words. But now it seems quite opposite. I cry and shout, but he shutteth out my voice. I felt a little like it in the past days. But what a mercy. Yes, although it seems that we're in those dark and dismal places, my mind went to what the apostle, I believe it's in his epistle to the Philippians, he declared this, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Yes, that one that has, the light has shone. I think that's in, as regards that, I think it's in one of his epistles to the Corinthians, but it, as regards the Lord is at hand in his epistle to the Philippians. But then in Corinthians, he speaks in this way, that one in whom the light has shone of the glorious gospel. And the light doesn't always shine. As I said, the Lord's people often walk in darkness. Their ways are tried. Very tried. But like the apostle, if I turn to it, if I can find it. But oh, I believe it's in Corinthians, is it not? Where he speaks of this ministry we have. Here we have it in the second epistle to the Corinthians. Speaking of the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Ah, if we've known the little of that, that has been granted unto us, it will be like that light, it is that light that has shone. And if we've known the little of that light, certainly darkness is more distressing to us, is it not? Those that are still in nature's darkness, these things make no difference to them. These things make no difference to them. But all the hymn we began with, that one verse seemed to stand out. Or the closing line of the third verse, I will not leave you comfortless. And then the next verse begins, burst through the clouds, O source of light. Let joy succeed the weeping night. Thy beams shall make my desert blow, the fruit appear, the spices flow. Ah, yes, and as the hymn writer penned that hymn, no doubt he knew a measure of what darkness was, because he had known the light. He had known the little of that whereby he could say, he knew of the secret place of the Most High, and he felt to be at times in that place of safety under the shadow of the Almighty. And he could say, perhaps in time past, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. But now, sometimes we look back to those times of our espousals, we feel many days have passed since then. Many days. And yes, we can remember those days of those espousals when the light shone upon the path, when that dew was upon the branch, there was a former and latter rain in their season. But days of darkness, days of trial, tribulation. But what a mercy we know a little of the language of the one in the Song of Solomon then. I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him whom my soul loveth. And there was that urgency, was there not, to once again be brought into that liberty that dispels the gloom. Yes, no doubt in the gloom, hewn stones and even more. Troublesome. Perhaps when light shines upon even hewn stone, you can begin to pick out what could be used where. But when the path in darkness, you're enclosed with hewn stone, there seems to be no purpose for it. No purpose for it. And perhaps like Jacob of old, all these things are against me. But this glorious gospel, the light that shone. Ah, what a mercy if you prove and I prove. As we go through this vale of tears, Going back to that chapter in Corinthians again, the second epistle, and that chapter 4. We read, do we not? We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So that knowledge, that's one shouting under the shadow of the Almighty, yet day of darkness. But it doesn't stop there. That one that has shone the light, begun that work, wrought in the heart that good thing. What a mercy if we prove this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's what we are, earthen vessels. Ah, yes, earthen vessels. We are fine, we are of the earth, earthy. Many a time we feel it so. But this treasure that is granted unto the Lord's people, that they have in their earthen vessel, which is of the excellency and the power, which is of God, not of us. We may be troubled. We may be troubled on every side, the battle goes on. Yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That's the difference between one of the Lord's people, shouting under the shadow of the Almighty, and the world in their troubles. I know I've spoken before of those I'd known of in my line of business at the time. There's two or three. They were wealthy men. They had everything as far as the world could see. They were men of substance. And yet when troubles come, when troubles came and darkness fell upon their path, yes, they walked in darkness in that measure, if we put it like that, because they're not seeing the light, but there was a greater darkness then, darker than ever before. They took their own lives. Left to take their own lives. But what a mercy. What a mercy indeed. Yes, you may be walking in darkness. You may be like it was with Jeremiah, a very tried path. But all like Jeremiah, as I said, that chapter in the Lamentations, those few verses in the middle speak of that hope, that glimmer of hope, that though damned, of that living faith, it could not die. The flame could not be put out. And the Spirit breathed upon it for a moment, whereby he could say, it is of the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And what a difference that language there in those few verses in comparison to the rest that were preceding it and following it. And then going on, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. One that walks in darkness, what a mercy if you can say, yes, it may be a tried path, a path of great afflictions and difficulties, hewn stone, hedged about, shut up, no liberty. Feeling arrows are again, yes, the arrows of the Lord enter in, as the prophet Isaiah spake, and he spake even like this, I cry and shout, and he shutteth out my prayer. Yes, there are some that know nothing of these things. Their path is always full of praise. It's always, as it were, they walk in the light. They're up on the mountain tops. They never know anything, have not known anything of the valleys. But I believe the Lord's people, they shall prove there is a balancing of the clouds. a balancing of the clouds. Sometimes they have the harp hung upon the willows, and they wonder how they'll take it down. But blessed be God, they prove a comforter. Oh, not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. And the Lord draws near as that good shepherd and bishop of their souls, and speaks peace and pardon in the midst of trouble. Give them a little hope. Yes, speaks a word. Speaks a word in season. The trouble might not end, but there's that which lifts up your weak hands and confirms your feeble knees, enables you to go. Yes, although it seems he shutteth out my voice. But it gives you that enlargement in prayer, and you go again and again into the closet and pour out your heart before the Lord. And there's that quiet waiting then. That portion in the middle of chapter 3 goes on. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. And that's a living soul. There's known that light, crying out for the living God. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. What a mercy. The Spirit that takes up that abode in your heart and mine. That's the blessed Spirit. Is as a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. It is that river of the waters of that river of grace that flows from beneath the throne of God and the Lamb. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. It is not of man, for it soon fall to boasting if we could undertake and manage all for ourselves. But is that which is of the grace of God, of his goodness and mercy. A few weeks ago, I felt I could say, goodness and mercy. Again and again, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But oh, we find we return to our sad place, do we not? And yet, the promise is, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. So there's that waiting. And that's that waiting daily at his gates, at the post of his doors. That's that waiting. Yes, although there's no answer, and you feel the Lord shuts out your prayer and your cries. But we read, do we not? There shall come that time when the Lord will, at the voice of thy cry, will answer thee. There is a time appointed, but there's that trial of faith. But blessed be God, that one will prove the grace of God to sustain them, to bring them through and enable them to go again and again. When we read of that woman that had that daughter with that affliction, yes, what a trial of faith it was to her. What a trial of faith it was to her. It seemed that even the disciples had got no time for her. Send her away, for she crieth after us. And the Lord appeared to take no regard to her cry, and even spoke those things that perhaps would have offended her. But such was her need. She pressed her case. And like dear old Jacob of old, dear old Jacob of old, you may have to wrestle again and again. You may have to wrestle again and again. And that one he wrestled with said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Jacob, with that urgent case, he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Like that woman, she pressed her case. and that was granted was her not. Faith was given to her to press on against all odds, yes, and she had to confess, but the dogs, yes, she felt she was no more than that dog. Unworthy, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. The dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And the Lord was pleased to grant her request. But all that faith then, faith in exercise, to wait, to press on. One word comes to mind. For this will I be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. But oh, if that promise has been laid upon your mind, yes, what a mercy. The Spirit will enable you to plead it again and again, and to wait for his appearing. And to wait for his appearing. Oh, yes, dear old Jeremiah, well, you know what his path was. You look back at the history and that which Jeremiah had to walk through. And he knew what it was, did he not, as the chapter then drew toward a close. But certainly that portion in the middle, there was that hope in exercise that the Lord would not cast off forever. Though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. And he looked to that multitude. The multitude of the mercies of God. No doubt he had known it in the past. And like the hymn writer put it, his love in time past forbids me to think. He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. His love in time past. Perhaps you can look back to those mercies, the multitude of them. And the Spirit being your remembrancer. And you see, yes, in that way they're more than can be numbered. Mercies, in that way countless as the sand. The Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. But oh, as that chapter draws toward a close, yes, there that morning still, he was known as a weeping prophet, was he not? They have cut off my life in the dungeon. And perhaps you felt like that. You feel that that's where it is. My life is cut off in the dungeon. Where is my hope? Where is my hope? And we've known the little of that path of Jeremiah. And yes, we've known likewise where our hope since we cut off. Where is our hope? Perhaps one or another knows a little of that, where they feel, where is my hope? My faith is sorely tried. I wonder whether they've got any faith. What I thought I had seems to have come to nothing. They've cut off my life in the dungeon. And not only that, cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I'm cut off. Low places. Nothing can come much lower than that. I am cut off. I am cut off. But it doesn't end there, does it? Dear old Jeremiah. Even though he felt he was cut off, the waters flowed over his head. But what do we read in that next verse, 55? I called upon thy name, that's dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Once in him we read, do we not, in one of the hymns. Once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. It's unalterable. That one the work of grace is begun in. That one, yes, love from all eternity, surnamed by the name of Israel, may feel at times cut off. They're not cut off. They're not cast out. Once in him. I remember those lines were so sweet to my soul a good number of years ago, when certainly the old adversary tried me sore. He said, you've deceived yourself and others. But all those lines came in a moment, once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. And I trust in that way. I had to agree with the adversary what he insinuated, what he said, for it was true. But bound up in that covenant, ordering all things and sure, the poor sinner groans, does he not? It caused him to groan again, being burdened. Yes, and he feels to be in that dungeon. But dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, and he's enabled by faith to go again and again, not looking to self, but looking alone unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. Dwelling, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. And so Jeremiah, I'm cut off. Where is my hope? But all, his hope hadn't perished. May have felt like it. May have felt to be cut off, completely out of the secret. But the Lord was at hand. Not in despair, cast down, but not in despair. I called upon thy name. O Lord, out of the low dungeon. As one or another feels, yes, I feel to be cut off. The waters have flowed over mine head. But you've been brought like that of Jeremiah. I call upon thy name. I called upon thy name. O Lord, out of a low dungeon. We know the word of God is left on record for us, for our encouragement. And what a mercy. When the Psalms or any part of the word of God, the Lamentations, come right where we are. It's a word in season unto one or another. What a mercy if it should be so. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of a low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. It speaks in that way. In the present, the past tense, thou hast heard my voice. Thou hast, in time past, heard my voice. And then that faith to press the case. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. And then, the verse 57, thou drewest near. When the Lord makes his presence known and felt, and you find that a shadow of the Almighty. Well, when we think of a shadow, it is not the substance, But the shadow gives knowledge that there is a substance there. For something real causes a shadow. Ah, what a mercy. Yes, thou drewest near. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. And then we read this. Thou saidst, fear not. Fear not. Reminds me of that word in Isaiah, which I trust I've known. The beauty of it. And the sweetness of it. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. What a mercy when we're reminded of this in the midst of troubles. Ah, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Yes, feelingly cut off. In a dungeon, a stone cast upon the head, cast upon me. Ah, shut in with hewn stones, hedged about in a dark place. But one that hears the voice of the prisoners. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near. In the day that I called upon thee, thou saidst, fear not. Ah, yes, and then the verse 58. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. An intercessor. An intercessor. Ah, sheltering under the shadow of the Almighty. Ah, yes, that secret place of the Most High. Oh, we often quote that out of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. Concerning that glorious high priest. Ah, let us there. Ah, we quote the whole so we get it right. But all that as regards the high priest, Christ himself. One that has truly finished that work. And suffered in the room, place, and stead of his chosen. Ah, and now sitteth on the right hand of the Father, ever to intercede for his people, those groanings which cannot be uttered. But we have this encouragement, as Paul wrote this epistle. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, yes, in darkness, in the dungeon. Ah, hedged in with those hewn stones. What a mercy. I believe that the Spirit will enable you by faith to hold fast to your profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then to this poor one, in such a place, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, Jeremiah, it was a time of need, was it not? A time of distress, of perplexity. But oh, thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee, and thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the cause of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. Ah, his life was hid with Christ in God. And when we think of Job, Satan was permitted to touch all, but But his life, that was not in Satan's hand. His life was hid also with Christ in God. Thou hast pleaded the cause of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. Oh, what a mercy then. For he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Comforter. I'll not leave you comfortless. What a mercy then. Oh, to some poor sinner. Burst through the clouds. What a mercy it should be this night. Burst through the clouds, O source of light. Let joy succeed the weeping night. Thy beams shall make my desert blow. The fruit appear, the spices flow. What thou hast promised, I implore. Supplies from thy exhaustless store. O righteous Father, just and true, give me both grace and glory too. I believe that grace was granted unto Jeremiah, sustaining grace, as well as what it was given unto the Apostle Paul, and likewise Job. And it will be to you also. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Tim Parrish. Mr. Tim Parrish is also expected to preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 592. Mighty to save is Christ the Lamb, that all the saints adore his name and make his goodness known. With one accord proclaim abroad the wonders of their Saviour God, whose blood did once atone. Hymn 592.
to bless that which is of thee. Thou knowest where one or another are. Thou knowest those depths which, yes, some as we've trust, we've proved in the midst of our depths when we felt like Jeremiah to be sinking in the mire and there we should perish. But blessed be God, prove thee to be our Ebed-Melech, that one that drew near and drew us up out. Ah, yes, with those cords of love, drew us up out and once again set our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus. And so we plead, do remember such, even this day thou knowest. Ah, speak the word, comfort their hearts. Ah, may they be yet found in that place, in the enjoyment of it, sitting under the shadow of the Almighty. And so do be pleased to bless that which is of thee, and cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do remember each one that now leaves thy courts. Ah, convey them in safety and watch over them in the pathway of life. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each. Now and forevermore. Amen.